April 29th, 2017. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. And I'm broadcasting from the very, very chilly, overcast Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me on RBN. Their website, of course, is republicbroadcasting.org. View our guest lineup at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day to see all of the links to the programs to the guests that we have had on and to future guests. I hope that you will also consider subscribing to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where you may hear the audio files of my programs. And, of course, you may also hear them at the RBN Archives. Another option is Wooly's Blog, and that's wooliesblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, I hope that you will consider donating to the network. You may do that in one of three ways. Just call 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org and click Donate, or send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Email questions or comments to comment@spingola.email. Remember, there's no more .com, and my regular address has changed. It's deanna@spingola.email. You may join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. My guest today is James Perloff, and that is P-E-R-L-O-F-F. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, as well as other books, great articles. His website is jamesperloff.com. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. It's so good to be back with you, one of the best informed ladies on radio.
Oh, thanks. I remember one time that we were going to do a pre-recorded program, and so I set my Skype up. You know, my Skype was set up. I contacted you via Skype, and I have a recording program, and I did not realize that it could be set for just recording one side of a conversation rather than both. And I didn't notice that until I decided, well, I better re-listen to the program, make sure everything is good, and I only recorded your side. So I had to go in and dub my side because you were very, very busy, but it worked out okay. But that was something sometimes the things that we learn the hard way.
Well, you know, that had been a great show we'd done, even though half of it wasn't recorded. It was kind of like we threw a no-hitter, and then we found we had to go out and pitch a game all over again, and I just wasn't quite ready for it. But we did tackle that subject again with both sides being recorded, and that's World War II, and that's sort of a marathon show. And I actually have that on my welcome page because I think that's a particularly significant topic. It's one of the most misunderstood subjects in history.
Oh, absolutely. World War II, I mean, look at all the things, all the warfare, all of the things that have occurred since World War II. I mean, it's just amazing. And, of course, the things that are going on now are a reflection of the things that went on then. And there's certainly a lot of things that are occurring now that are, I just can't believe that people believe. They still believe the same kind of rhetoric that was being used back in World War One. You know, oh, the Germans are cutting off the Belgians' hands, and the the babies in the incubators are being thrown on the floor and now the Syrian gas attacks on the children. I can't believe that people still buy into all of those tactics, which is what they are.
Exactly, and if you look at the whole history of this, you know, you go back to the Spanish-American War when National City Bank wanted to take Spain's colony of Cuba over to get its sugar industry, as well as several other motives that they had. They used atrocity stories to get Americans thinking they're going to go fight for Cuban's freedom and democracy, right? And they found that women atrocities against women played particularly well with the American public. You know, you got to be a hero and go down and save these damsels in distress. And they even made Cuban women in their newspaper pictures look like white European women to, you know, increase the motivation. But then World War One, as you were saying, they changed it to children. Now they're cutting the hands off of children in Belgium. And of course, after the war, investigators went over to Belgium and found nobody to ever witness that happen. But then World War II, they had the Shanghai baby, and they realized that babies are about, you know, that's as bad as you can get. So now they've got, you know, as you were saying, they had the incubator babies, and it's got to be babies and children. We know that there's atrocities. We know this, the whole pedophilic phenomenon, satanic phenomenon going on. There are real atrocities. Unfortunately, the mainstream media, and that doesn't call attention to the real atrocities, but only the fake ones, like the sarin gas attack, which is the subject of my most recent blog post, in order to get people ramped up for another war.
Exactly. It's amazing. And they just keep falling for it. And, you know, even family, as often as I have talked about these things, I even have family members that still buy into these tactics, these stories, these fables. And they are just to get us to go to war. And I think you could go back, no matter what war you're talking about, whether you're talking about the so-called Civil War, the Mexican-American War, there's always some sort of gimmick that gets people to, men, to go and fight. And I think it's, I don't know whether it's part of a man's nature, that they have to feel that they need to protect people. And when the TV's on, I often see these ads for wounded warriors. And I think of all of the, you know, the people that are going over there and what they might be experiencing. They lose their limbs, their lives, and yet we still have this war going on. And look at the length of the war in the Middle East. I mean, we're not talking just, it has been going on. Since the first Bush presidency.
It's insane, especially when you think of the breadth of World War II, and that only lasted for America anyway. It lasted only, what, 3.5 years, and yet we've been in Afghanistan for, what, 16 years now? Yes. Almost 16 years. And the reason we went to Afghanistan was allegedly because the Taliban wouldn't give us Osama bin Laden. And all the Taliban asked for was proof that he had something to do with 9/11, which we wouldn't give him because we couldn't give it to them. Well, supposedly Osama bin Laden was killed in 2011, and we're still there. Same thing with Iraq. You know, we went into Iraq for, as everybody knows, supposedly because of weapons of mass destruction. It turned out they didn't have them, so we said, okay, now we'll find another reason. So now it's Operation Iraqi Freedom. You know, I go back to the old freedom and democracy motto that should have been worn out with World War One when Woodrow Wilson said the war would make the world safe for democracy.
Right. And as far as Osama bin Laden, I mean, the guy died, according to Fox News, in December of 2001. I guess they resurrected him. And why doesn't anybody remember this? I mean, they announced that he was dead, that he died in a hospital. I don't know. Nobody seems to have remembered. And then, of course, people who killed him the second time, or killed him the first time, actually, because he died of natural causes the first time, they seem to have disappeared.
Well, there was that takedown of the chopper with Navy Team 6, right? SEAL Team 6?
Yeah.
And, of course, nobody really in alt media really believed that story anyway, especially when they announced that they dropped his body in the ocean one day later, which making any identification impossible. If anything, you would have wanted to take the guy alive if he's really the world's head of the world's biggest terror network. You want to interrogate the guy. You don't want to shoot him dead. And you certainly want to be able to prove your claim that you killed him by having his body on display, which it was. And it was obviously right out of Orwell's 1984, where they just created an event that didn't happen, and yet it's now been written down in our history books.
Exactly. It is just amazing. So you have done a lot of, you've talked about Trump in some of your latest post. Trump is unmasked 14 reasons why the Syria airstrikes were a really bad idea. So can you talk to us about that and give us some of those 14 reasons?
Yeah, this is so relevant, you know. I'll just preface this by mentioning I did vote for Donald Trump. I'm sort of a guy who was past the stage of voting, but his rhetoric was good enough, and I was opposed so strongly to a Hillary Clinton presidency, you know, that old Clinton Bush machine that's been in place for so long, going back to the 80s, that, I didn't strongly support Trump as an individual, but, 99% of my memes were about Hillary, and he was saying the right things about being a non-interventionist and America First, and, of course, America First is anathema to the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, let me just find that quote from Admiral Chester Ward, who was in the CFR and then exposed it. He said, quote, "In the entire CFR lexicon, there's no term of revulsion carrying a meaning so deep as America First." And, of course, that America First term goes back to Charles Lindbergh, who you and I admire for his stance during leading up to the Second World War, where, like his father, he tried to keep us out of war. Once Trump became president, I was taking a wait-and-see approach. I knew that he had a lot of Zionist connections, which were especially worrying to me. But he did a couple of good things when he came in. You know, he axed the TPP and reversed the transgender orders that Obama. So I was waiting to see. But, you know, the day he launched those 59 missiles, everything changed for me, and I realized, we have a man who's collaborating with the Zionist establishment. So let's talk about this airstrike on Syria. And it's funny, another radio show is when I asked me, oh, so you narrowed it down to 14 reasons.
Yeah.
Well, the first is that Trump himself had said this would be a terrible thing to do. Because you go back to the 2013 alleged sarin gas attack by Assad. Here's what Trump tweeted, and this is my article. I've got screenshots of his tweets, and that's thanks to other people who found those. But the first one is from 29 August 2013. Donald Trump speaking here, quote, "What will we get for bombing Syria besides more debt and a possible long-term conflict? Obama needs congressional approval." A lot of
and that's from 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's a lot of wisdom just in that one tweet. I'll quote some more. I won't quote all of them. Next tweet from Trump. Quote, "If Obama attacks Syria and innocent civilians are hurt and killed, in the U.S. will look very bad," unquote. The next one, "If the U.S. attacks Syria and hits the wrong targets, killing civilians, there'll be worldwide hell to pay. Stay away and fix broken U.S., unquote. Next one from Trump. Quote, "The only reason President Obama wants to attack Syria is to save face over his very dumb red line statement. Do not, with the word not in capitals, attack Syria. Fix USA." And the last one, I'll quote from Trump, quote, "Again, to our very foolish leader, do not attack Syria. If you do, many very bad things will happen. And from that fight, the U.S. gets nothing, exclamation point," unquote, Donald Trump. So here's a man who knew that this was a bad thing to do. He knew it was the wrong thing to do, and he did it anyway. That's just reason number one.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I admit I voted for him also for the same reason that you voted for him. And I walked back from the voting station, and I was thinking, boy, I don't know. I don't know whether I'd. And within a couple of days, I did a flip. I knew that I didn't want the criminal Hillary in there. I mean, she's that whole family. I mean, they're horrid, absolutely horrid. And I guess you just vote for the least evil, but just evil's still evil. Bad is still bad. I mean, we're getting and all those quotes that you read, all those tweets, were within about a week's time. And he was saying the right things, and on the campaign trail, he was saying the right things. People were really applauding the things. He was acting like a populist and appealing to the voters.
And yes, wow. In fact, on the campaign trail, he said he would stay out of Syria, Brother Nathaniel had a video recently with some of those clips of him saying that during the campaign. So even though those tweets were from 2013 and 2016, he was saying the same thing.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is the 100th day in office. And he did this within the first 100 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, my gosh, the very thing that he said he would not do and thought it would be the worst thing to do, he did within the first 100 days.
I've been wanting to make a meme of him and label it the biggest flip-flop in political history, but I have to look to make sure that that's true or not. But it's really fast. I thought he'd boil the frog, but oh, by the way, it seems it's Pepe the Frog that's getting boiled.
Exactly. Yeah, draining the swamp. It seems like he's filling it up. He promised to drain the swamp. Well, I don't.
Yeah, somebody did a meme yesterday. Said he drained it right into his cabinet.
Oh, I love some of those tweets. They're great.
Reason number two is the U.S. Constitution, and here's what Senator Rand Paul, son of Ron Paul, tweeted after the airstrike on Syria. He said, quote, "The president needs congressional authorization for military action as required by the Constitution," unquote. And that immediately got, when I retweeted it that day, it already had 16,000 retweets. And Trump himself had said that, and the first tweet that I quoted from him, that you need congressional authority. And even Obama, you'll recall, sought congressional approval for his initial desired airstrikes after the first alleged sarin gas attack. And even Johnson, after the fictitious Tonkin Gulf attack, got the Tonkin Gulf resolution. It's all bad, but at least they were working within the Constitution. Now, you're looking at the Constitution, I find it's unfortunate that the language is kind of bare. It says that the president is the commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. And then in the section on the Congress, it says that Congress has the right to declare war. It doesn't elaborate a whole lot beyond those things, and it doesn't specify what the president may do as commander-in-chief or put limitations on it, but it's always been understood. You work with Congress, and obviously the war-making authority was granted to Congress, not to the executive. And if you look at the Constitution and the Founding Fathers and what they said, it's very clear that they strongly always emphasized the importance of checks and balances. They didn't want an autocrat as president. Now, if somebody wants to argue that they think that Trump, acting within his legal authority as commander-in-chief to launch these airstrikes, by that same logic, he would have the authority as commander-in-chief to just unilaterally launch a first nuclear strike on Russia, right? Same logic. Sure. And start World War III and incinerate the whole planet. Obviously, the Founding Fathers did not intend a king-like president with that kind of authority. They wanted Congress to hold them in check. They wanted the Congress itself held in check by the balances between the Senate and the House. They wanted the executive and legal branches to be held in check by the judiciary. And they wanted the entire federal government held in check by the states, a matter which was unfortunately settled negatively by the Civil War. But obviously, they were all about checks and balances. So this was unconstitutional, and Trump's own tweet proved that he knew that.
Exactly, yes. And, of course, all of the executive orders that presidents have written for such a long time bypass the Constitution and Congress and everything else. It's a shame what has occurred with the so-called three branches that are supposed to balance each other. Terrible, terrible. All righty.
Number three on my list of the 14 is that he acted with such haste without waiting to get his facts straight. And, he reacted to Ivanka crying. He saw some photos, some of which look staged, some of which are probably real. But all he had was an intelligence briefing. And I guess we got a break, and we'll cover this on the other side of that.
Right. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Yeah. You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is James Perloff. His website is jamesperloff.com, and we are going over the 14 reasons why Trump is unmasked. 14 reasons why the Syria airstrikes were a really bad idea. 14 reasons, and I believe we're on number 3, and somebody in the chat room said regarding the elections, we had a choice between two psychopaths, psychopath number 1 or psychopath number 2. So, how true. Okay, number 3.
Okay, so we were talking about the haste with which he reacted here, and Colin Powell had many intelligence briefings about the so-called weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He gave an intelligence briefing of his own to the UN, as everybody knows. He showed diagrams and all this alleged evidence, and it turned out to be wrong, and he admitted he acted on faulty intelligence. So if you can be that wrong after that many briefings, why did Trump react with such haste? You know, in America, if somebody's accused of a crime, we just don't go and hang them. We have a trial. We get the facts. We hear both sides of the story, all sides of the story, before any kind of punitive action is taken. And what Trump obviously should have done, if he really believed that some great atrocity had been committed by the Syrian government, should have asked for a nonpartisan international commission to go in and do an investigation and render a report. Instead, he just put his finger on the red button and launched 59 missiles.
Yeah, 59. Whoa. Amazing.
And what's pretty clear that what happened here, and this comes from I've got embedded clips, short clips, but one is from Peter Ford, the former ambassador to Syria, is being interviewed by this BBC, who is very eager to have him back up this Assad did it narrative, and they were even saying to him, the British defense minister accepts the American report, and he said, look, I don't leave my brains at the door. And he said there's two possibilities. One is that they were dropped by Assad's air force. The other is that Assad's air force dropped a conventional weapon, which hit a chemical weapon stored by the rebels themselves. And Deanna, to this date, the Trump administration, has not produced one shred of evidence that the Assad air force actually dropped the chemical weapons. And this is also what more and more journalists are finding. I've got an interview there from Tom Duggan, who's a British journalist living in Damascus. He says that is quite obviously the what happened is that these weapons belong to the rebels, the jihadists on the ground, and not the Syrian Air Force. So Trump hit the wrong target. He didn't wait for us to get his facts straight, but although I think you and I would both concur that he wasn't really interested in the facts. This is part of an overriding agenda.
Sure. And, I mean, why would any rational person drop destructive bombs that are sure to kill people because they're hurting people, because the so-called enemy is hurting people? And I think we've all heard also Assad saying, hey, we didn't use these weapons on children. So, it's just, what did they say? Two wrongs don't make a right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, there were 10 civilians, as I understand it, killed at that airbase. And so he said he was upset about the deaths of civilians, yet he killed them anyway. And that's what he said, by the way, going back to those tweets we're quoting at the outset. He said, if the U.S. hits the wrong targets, killing civilians, there'll be hell to pay. And yes, he says, if Obama attacks Syria and innocent civilians are hurt and killed, in the U.S. will look very bad. So he did the very thing that he said shouldn't be done. And he had good sound reasons in 13. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, reason number four on my list is that the United States was not attacked here. And, the purpose, of course, of the U.S. military is supposed to be to defend America and not to go around the world and kick people's ass and punish people the president doesn't like, or that other countries, you know who I'm talking about, doesn't like. And we're not to be the judge and the jury and to right wrongs in other countries, whether they're real or imagined. So this, again, violated the entire spirit and intent of our armed forces, which is to defend America. We were not attacked here.
But then we've never been actually, if you get right down to it, give me one time when we were actually attacked without it being some sort of a false flag. Alrighty, right. We have a 3-minute commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
This is Deanna, and our guest today for the first 2 hours is James Perloff. He is the author of Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and his website and other works. And his website is jamesperloff.com. Somebody posted a couple of quotes by Henry Kissinger in the chat room, and I think they're very appropriate. Henry Kissinger said, "It's not a matter of what is true that counts, but a matter of what is perceived to be true." And he also said, "What we in America call terrorists are really groups of people that reject the international system." And of course, he's talking about the New World Order. And he says about that, "It cannot happen without U.S. participation, as we are the most significant single component. Yes, there will be a New World Order, and it will force the United States to change its perceptions." Now, Donald Trump met with Henry Kissinger on November 17th, 2016, and their conversation was about Russia, China, Iran, and the European Union. And Trump said that, he said, "I have tremendous respect for Dr. Kissinger and appreciate him sharing his thoughts with me." So, I like your image in in number four. It says, "BB, Americans are complaining the bombing wasn't justified because Syria hasn't attacked America, so you know what to do." And on the other side of the image, it says, "Yes, Lord Rothschild, I'll have Mossad do another 9/11 on America, and this time will leave Syrian passports at the scene. Very, very appropriate, right?
I'm just trying to stay ahead of the Mossad on that because, with the complaints that we weren't attacked, they'll be thinking about that. Well, we have to do something to make it look like Syria's attacked the United States in order to augment the motivation for America to go in with more ground troops and help us create our greater Israel plan, which is what's in back of all this.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we're on number five. The chemical agents could not have been sarin gas.
That's right. And for this point, I quoted Patrick Lang as a former colonel in the Defense Intelligence Agency. He wrote a post, and he said that the missile strikes were, quote, based on a lie, unquote. And here's a paragraph from that post. He said, quote, "We know it's not sarin. How? Very simple. The so-called first responders handled the victims without gloves. If this had been sarin, they would have died. Sarin on the skin will kill you. How do I know? I went through live agent training at Fort McClellan in Alabama," unquote. So I've got to ask, Deanna, did Trump's military advisors not know what the sarin gas attack would look like? Apparently they didn't. And so you either have to say that they're very foolish, or, of course, the more likely option is they knew exactly what had happened. This was not sarin gas at all.
Sure. Or they just expected that the American public would just accept whatever they said without any question.
As the chat room person was saying, as Henry Kissinger wanted our perceptions to be guided by the, in this case, by both the executive branch and the media backing him up. Anyway, number six was an investigative journalist, Seymour Hersh, and he published an article suppressed in the United States. It was published overseas, but he found that the original sarin gas claims made about Assad back in 2013 were false. He reported that British labs had tested the sarin gas on the scene, compared it to the sarin gas in Assad's chemical arsenal, which has since been disbanded, and that didn't match, so it wasn't from his arsenal. Also, he interviewed witnesses, and he brought out the fact that it was the rebels in 2013 who used the sarin gas with the help of Turkish intelligence, and that's now been confirmed by the Turkish media. So how come Trump didn't know that and his administration didn't know that? And why didn't they take the fact that the first sarin gas claims against Assad had been discredited when evaluating this one? This should have been a big asterisk for them, a huge asterisk filling a whole page before they would claim that Assad must go and Assad did this. And then number seven is really along the same lines. I've got a screenshot of an article that appeared in the Daily Mail of Britain. It's since been deleted by the Daily Mail, but Global Research has screenshot the entire thing and has it archived. And here's the Daily Mail's headline from 2013. Quote, U.S.-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria and blame it on Assad's regime. And then the sub-headline is, leaked emails from a defense contractor refer to chemical weapons, saying the idea is approved by Washington, unquote. So we know that there was already evidence being cited in 2013 that the U.S. wanted a chemical weapons attack to take place in Syria so they could blame it on Assad. This also should have been taken into account by Trump if he was honestly trying to assess the situation.
And the American people, too. I mean,
right?
Didn't the American people remember the previous allegation against Assad?
I think many of them did. There's probably a lot more people out there that are aware of what's going on than we're aware of, just because mainstream media is not going to give us any inkling. They're going to show the president's polls soaring, and I don't know if they've done any kind of poll on whether or not the public believes the story, but you know that they'll fudge the stats all the time. So I think there's more people onto this than we probably realize, I hope.
I hope so, too. Absolutely.
Well, we're about halfway through. Okay, number eight is this. Assad just didn't have any motive to use chemical weapons because he and the Russians had recently won this huge victory over ISIS and the El Nasser Front in Aleppo. So these guys are close to consolidating a victory. And why would, on all that time, that he's fighting the jihadists on the battlefield, Assad never used chemical weapons against them. So why, after this big victory, would he suddenly just randomly decide, hey, I think I'm going to drop some chemical weapons on civilians, knowing full well that the last time such a claim was leveled against them, it brought about threatened airstrikes? Why would he endanger himself in his own position with this wanton attack? He's just got no motive. The people, you know, when you look at a crime, if you're a real detective, you one of the first questions you ask is, who had motive, okay? Who collected insurance on this murder? Who benefited from it? And who benefited was obviously ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Israel. Assad obviously was not the beneficiary. Same thing with 9/11. You know, America didn't benefit, and Muslims didn't benefit. The big beneficiary was Israel. So you look at who benefited, but clearly Assad had no motive to do this.
Exactly. And, of course, the other benefactors are the people who make all this money selling armaments and, you know, Blackwater. They've changed their name, but certainly there's a lot of people making a lot of money, and this has always been the case, that people make a lot of money during warfare because it takes a lot of resources to execute a war.
Yeah, I've heard different figures on how much it'll cost to replace those 59 Tomahawks, but Catherine Austin Fitz is a pretty good lady for figures. She said it was $90 million. I mean, how about using that to fix our roads at home, our infrastructure? You know, I thought that's what Trump was going to be doing.
Yeah, instead of building a wall. I mean, what's that all about?
Well, number nine is right after the airstrike on the Shayrat Air Base, ISIS launched a new offensive in that region. And so what Trump, in effect, did was he launched an attack in support of the enemies of the Islamic extremists, who he said he was going to be fighting as president. So he's supposed to be fighting the jihadists, and he actually launched a flank attack in their support in a battlefield situation. So there's, again, looking at motive, who's got motive. The bad guys had motive for this to be blamed on Assad, but militarily, obviously, this went against what Trump claimed about his own position vis-a-vis Muslim extremists.
Right. Now, how much influence do you think that his daughter and his son-in-law have with him?
You know, this is coming out more and more. There's more and more posts I've been seeing on Twitter about Jared Kushner. You know, I did a meme, and this is just for fun, okay? It's not meant to be taken seriously, but he was born on January the 10th, 1981, and on March the 20th, 1981, they released The Omen, Part 3, where, you know, and it's in the movie poster, they show President of the United States insignia behind him, you know, and you always see Kushner standing next to the president. But this is something interesting. It's been pointed out, I think it's true, there seem to be no interviews of Jared Kushner. It's like he's senior advisor to the president, but you never see any of the major networks interview the guy. He just stands in the background watching, but he traveled to the Middle East with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he'll be going to Israel with the president on his forthcoming trip to Israel. He's a 35-year-old real estate developer. Why is he suddenly the voice of American foreign policy?
Exactly. What are his qualifications? And his father helped to finance some of the settlements there on the Gaza Strip. What gives him the right, except for Trump, allowing him to be the top advisor? I mean, that's ridiculous. Why no outcry over that?
Yeah, it's nepotism. And what's being pointed out now is apparently is a major player in this group Chabad, and I'm just starting to learn about it. But I guess it's a college campus Zionist organization, and they say it's an arm of Mossad. If that's true, it means the Mossad has an agent standing right next to the president,
and you can
be sure that our foreign policy is being directed by Israel, and of course AIPAC has always directed it anyway, and the Rothschilds, and Israel's nothing but the Rothschilds' proxy state, and that's why the Balfour Declaration was issued to Lord Walter Rothschild. It's been their game going back to the 19th century, at least.
Sure.
But I think Kushner is very, very very much maybe our real president. It's ironic that he just turned 35 at the time of the election, and 35 is the age of qualification to be president.
Yikes. Yeah, so you might as well think that Trump is just a figurehead and that Kushner is the real force in the White House.
Even Paul Craig Roberts was commenting that on this, that he seems to be just in the hands of other people. He was commenting on the fact in a recent interview with Julian Charles, Paul Craig Roberts was noting that it's very unusual that a lot of foreign policy statements are now being made by other people besides Trump. Usually it's the president himself who will make these announcements. So it just seems like he's being run at this point, that he's being managed.
Right.
I don't think he's even in charge.
Yeah, one thing that he said, I don't remember where he said this, but he thought that being president would be a lot more difficult than he thought, and he doesn't seem to be doing anything. I mean, he goes to the so-called Southern White House every weekend, and he's saying, hey, it's a piece of cake. It's no big deal.
Well, maybe that's because he's delegated a lot of these things to people like Kushner. I would think that would be, when I was a kid, they said that the hardest job in the world would be to be president of the United States, and I still pretty much agree with that, unless, of course, you do have, you are just a figurehead, and all the other people are doing the brain work for you.
Right. Amazing.
Well, number 10 on my list, and this is actually a pretty important one, is that if Syria really was storing chemical weapons at this airbase, like they said, the last thing you'd want to do is hit it with Tomahawk missiles, because you don't dismantle weapons of mass destruction by blowing them up. If, in fact, there had been sarin gas there, hitting it with Tomahawk missiles would explode the sarin gas into the atmosphere and kill lots of more civilians, which is supposedly what Ivanka and Trump were all so upset about. So didn't they understand that you don't dispose of sarin gas that way? You should dispose of it probably at sea in a very careful manner. You don't blow it up and send it into the atmosphere. So this means either he had really bad advice by very inept military advisors, or the more likely option is they knew darn well there were no chemical weapons at that base, and they were doing it for strategic reasons. As I'm sure you've heard, Israel has also started launching airstrikes on Syria. So they're trying to give it to Assad from every direction right now. The jihadists, the U.S. and Israel combined, they're trying to overwhelm them with military force.
Amazing. Yes. But it was anticipated. I mean, this is what we can anticipate. What happened in Afghanistan, what happened in Libya, what happened in Iraq. I mean, it's kind of part of what they do. They're just taking them out one by one.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I'm sure most of your listeners have probably seen it, but that famous clip from General Wesley Clark, where he said that in 2001, after 9/11, in 2001, there was already a plan to take out seven nations, including Iraq, Libya, and Syria. And of course, you needed a pretext for each one. So, you know, for Iraq with weapons of mass destruction, and Libya was, you know, Gaddafi being a dictator, and then they had sarin gas, a fake sarin gas attack for Assad and Syria. But yeah, this is part of that dominoes, if you will. You know, they were talking about the domino effect in the Vietnam War, right? It's like we're setting off our own domino effect in the Middle East in these Arab Spring Wars.
Sure. Absolutely. And Trump is doing, as you say, in number 11, Trump is now keeping bad company.
Yeah. That very same day, or hours before he made this decision, Hillary Clinton said that we should, quote, take out Syrian airfields. And so he took Hillary's advice, and he's also doing the same thing that the number one and number two neocons in the Congress, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, are doing. Of course, Lindsey Graham said he was now respectful of Trump after the airstrikes, whereas he'd dissed on him all the time before that, and is doing the same thing as Obama. So all of a sudden, Trump is doing exactly what Obama, Clinton, Lindsey Graham, and McCain would have done in his shoes. And what's the difference? He's become a neocon, exactly the thing that he said he was opposed to.
Sure. And he certainly has become a neocon. He's following their pattern exactly. And whatever happened to when Clinton and Trump were supposedly debating, what happened to the idea that he said, oh, you know, she should be in jail, or she should be tried for the email scandal, the server scandal. What was that all about? Nothing happened.
Yeah, a lot of these other promises have just vanished. A lot of really diehard Trump supporters still think he's doing a great job, but people have been listening to this, making memes out of all the changes that have taken place. You know, he's gone. In fact, you know, he said that he was opposed to globalism. Just a couple of days ago, he said, I am a globalist and a nationalist. Now, how long is it before the phrase nationalist just disappears altogether from Trump's vocabulary?
Sure. Probably already gone. All righty. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Deanna, and our guest today is James Perloff. His website is jamesperloff.com. You mentioned Wesley Clark. And do we all remember the participation and the influence he was at Waco? I mean, he's the guy that that perpetrated or directed Waco back in 1993. And that was just about the time that the government supposedly was looking at the Clinton crimes and trying and maybe going after the Clintons. And then all of a sudden we have Waco, this big, which was distracted everybody. But look what they did there at Waco with the Branch Davidians. And they had people, they had snipers behind the compound. And they had people going in civilian dress. I mean, that was a regular slaughter. Directed by Wesley Clark. Are you there? I think, did we lose Jim?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I had my microphone muted. I'm sorry about that.
I do that too. I know, sometimes I'll mute it and I'll forget to turn it back on. I'll be yakking away and nobody can hear me.
I just gave the equivalent of the Gettysburg Address and I can't bring it back to memory now. But anyway, what I was going to say was that I appreciated you bringing it up, and I had actually not been aware, because it's so long since I've looked at the Waco incident, that Wesley Clark played the key role in that. And do you believe, Deanna, that he was subsequently rewarded, you know, with these his very elevated Pentagon positions and commander of NATO, partly directly as a result of Waco?
Right. He was number two as far as being in command of that operation. And I believe that anybody that does the things that he did there, or, you know, participates in phony war or phony anything, are rewarded for their efforts.
Well, how about General Eisenhower with his Rhineland Meadows camp? Rhineland Meadows camp, and then gets to become president of the United States.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, let's see. You know, by the way, we were talking about Trump keeping bad company in this list of 14 reasons why the Syria airstrikes were such a bad idea. And part of that, besides, you know, now he's hanging out with at least on a mental level with Hillary and McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that the mass media suddenly was behind them. And, you know, they'd been after him like pit bulls before the election, during and after the election, and with the constant Russia hacking claims. And I was watching CNN on April the 9th after these airstrikes, and I was amazed that the CNN anchor and their commentators were all speaking with this hushed reverence about Donald Trump. And they're saying that he restored America's respect throughout the world because of these airstrikes, right? And I couldn't find that specific clip for my web article, but I did find another one where CNN is talking about how presidential he'd become because of the airstrikes.
Yeah, is that crazy?
CNN.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, CNN. It says, do I have the right channel? Is this really CNN? Okay, we'll be back. It's the top of the hour. We will be back in 3 minutes.
For you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's A-P-P-S-A-P-A-R-T.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.